AT&T has long kept Chinese gear out of its domestic networks, but not in Mexico.
It's an interesting case study because it shows the limits of the U.S. government's authority around the world.
Democratic candidates are racing to raise and spend money.
So far, Senator Bernie Sanders is really ahead of the pack.
Plus, firefighters have saved the structure of Notre Dame's cathedral after a tragic fire. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story this morning, AT&T's decision to continue to use controversial technology from Chinese telecom giant Huawei in Mexico, here's what you missed overnight. That's thousands of people in Paris singing prayers as they watched a terrible fire tear through the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Firefighters eventually got control over the blaze, and as of this morning, authorities have said the basic structure of Notre Dame is safe. However, the fire did terrible damage to the 12th century cathedral, bringing down the church's legendary spire and severely damaging its roof. French President Emmanuel Macron vowed to rebuild the church. And final tallies are in, and Bernie Sanders leads the Democratic presidential hopeful pack, at least when it comes to fundraising. The senator from Vermont raised $18 million in the first 3 months of this year, compared to Kamala Harris, who raised $12 million, and Elizabeth Warren, who raised $6 million. Julie Bykowitz told me from Washington these figures are important, not just because they demonstrate early momentum.
Because there are so many Democrats in the race, we know that it's likely going to be a long and very crowded primary. So early fundraising can be a good indicator of who can stick it out. The primaries don't even really get started until February of next year in Iowa. So it's a long slog, and it's going to take a lot of money to get the candidate's message out to not only the early primary states, but some very, very expensive states. For example, California, one of the most expensive media states in the country, starts early voting on the same day as Iowa, which means that the candidates might have to spend lots of money advertising and traveling around that state at the same time they're looking at the other early primary states.
On the Republican side, President Trump raised $30 million for his reelection campaign. And AT&T has sold its minority stake in Hulu back to the company. It's a deal that values the streaming video site at around $15 billion. That's a sharp jump from 2 years ago when AT&T's stake was valued at around $5.8 billion. Now, our main story this morning, a twist in the ongoing saga regarding the Chinese telecom giant Huawei. Now, you might remember that the U.S. has said that Huawei poses a cybersecurity threat. But we report today that even as the U.S. ramps up pressure on allies like Germany to block them from using Huawei in the future, an American firm, AT&T, is still using Huawei's technology, but in Mexico. Here to explain more is Drew Fitzgerald. So Drew, walk me through this. Why is AT&T using Huawei's technology, and why is it using it in Mexico?
Well, Huawei's equipment in AT&T's Mexican network is really a legacy of two companies that AT&T bought when it entered the market back in the end of 2014, going into 2015. And like most networks at that time, both companies made extensive use of Huawei, which is, after all, the biggest telecom equipment supplier in the world.
What has AT&T said about this? Why do they say that they're using Huawei's technology, and will they be using it in the future?
Well, AT&T has said that for their future 5G network, the plan is to turn to a new supplier to form the basis for their future 5G networks. Now, the company hasn't given a timeline for when it plans to build these 5G networks in Mexico. On a small scale, some 5G networks are already up and running in the States, but as we know, there aren't many phones that can actually use it. But AT&T has said, not for political reasons, but just for business reasons, because they'll be using different suppliers in the United States. It's effectively, for large companies, banned if not by law, in practice in the United States, and because AT&T, like most companies, likes using basic set of one or two suppliers across the entirety of its network in many countries, they probably won't be using Huawei for their future network construction.
So what does this all mean? Why should we care that AT&T is using Huawei technology in old 4G systems? Does this tell us something about maybe what the future could hold?
It's an interesting case study because it shows the limits of the U.S. government's authority or even influence around the world to try to convince other countries and other private sector actors to avoid Huawei. In the case of Mexico, this is a close neighbor. And in the case of AT&T, it's a U.S.-based company that is dependent on having a good relationship with the U.S. government. But without presenting more hard evidence of what some of the national security or just information security risks these equipment makers pose from China, there's not much else that the U.S. can appear to be able to do. So when the State Department or other U.S. officials visit companies in Europe or in parts of Asia or Latin America and try to convince these companies that they should steer clear of Huawei, they might not make much progress. There doesn't appear to have been much progress in convincing those companies to change a supplier that they've used for a long time. Now, they may have success in the future and convince companies to avoid Huawei for 5G networks. But again, in the here and now, Huawei is going to be a major part of 4G networks for years to come.
You can find all of our coverage of Huawei on WSJ.com. And now, the sked. Here's what to look forward to later today. Netflix reports its earnings after U.S. markets close. Now, you may remember that earlier this year, the company raised its prices an extra $2 per month. It now costs $13 a month to stream the likes of Stranger Things and The Crown. The key question for investors will be whether or not some of us chose to cancel our subscriptions, especially in the wake of increasing competition from the likes of Amazon and Hulu. Plus, the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments all this week. Yesterday, the court heard arguments in a First Amendment case in which the plaintiffs were challenging a federal law that bans registration of immoral or scandalous trademarks. Today's docket includes a case focusing on whether or not California's overtime laws apply to workers on oil rigs on the Outer Continental Shelf. Finally, a record 17.4 million people tuned in Sunday night for the beginning of the end of HBO's Game of Thrones. It's now HBO's most popular show ever, besting even The Sopranos. Did you tune in? Send us no spoilers, but let us know your thoughts. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.